This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the B Block, or hour two of the show. It's a Q Talk America Tuesday night. It is show 355. This is the 21st of August. Hello, everybody. I'm sitting here next to the guest villainess, also...
Oh, yes. I've returned to the guest villainess.
Non-paid contributor to the Q-Talk America Network.
Thank you. I love my new title.
Doug Wilkie is here because Kat Carlson has the night off. Marnie Ryer is decked out in Pepsi and Nike. By the way, we are not monetizing this show.
Yeah.
Al Perkin Al Perkin is sitting here in a lovely black blouse this evening. And I'm Clayton McKee.
I haven't washed since last week because it is the same black blouse. I realized that today as I was writing over.
It's all right, but nobody can. I wear the same thing every day.
I know, I don't. It's usually the same blue shirt for months on end.
In fact, this past weekend while we were at the Dancing with the Bars thing, somebody thought they had spilled coffee on me. I was holding a cup of coffee before the event, and somebody reached out to shake somebody's hand and bumped my arm, and they thought that they had spilled coffee on me, which they hadn't. But Selena Vega was standing next, and she looked at them and goes, like he doesn't have another black shirt?
Yeah.
And oddly, I had brought a second shirt to the event because I wanted to make sure I was all well and good.
Something that I heard back in the day, I don't know if this has ever been officially verified, but allegedly Fred Flintstone's ensemble was coffee stains. That's what the spots were.
Oh.
That was the joke, that he always spilled coffee on himself.
I thought it was like animal print.
I thought it was saber-toothed lion or something.
And I don't know. It was something that I heard from the good people of Hanna-Barbera.
I do appreciate that.
That it was supposed to be coffee stains.
I'm going to have to do some research on that. Well, before we research the Fred Flintstone ensemble, a Maine restaurant says news about the anger surrounding a change in its French fries has reached people all over the world. Bali's Famous Franks co-owner, Leslie Parsons, tells the Kennebec Journal, a newspaper in China, wanted to try its fries, and it received a call from people representing TV chef Rachel Ray. The Journal had reported that Waterville restaurant faced threats of violence when it changed from crinkle-cut fries to straight-cut fries this past June.
Don't fuck with those French fries.
So the Facebook post
don't
from...
Don't take my waffle flies.
Your waffle fries?
My waffle flies.
Yeah.
Thank you, Baba Wawa.
Baba.
The Facebook post from the restaurant says...
Is that an Asian...
So recently, within the last week, we have encountered some pretty disturbing and hostile customers, apparently very unhappy with our straight-cut French fries. While I fully understand the crinkle cut has been the long-standing traditional fry of Bali's restaurant, I was forced to make an unpopular business decision for the reasons, as a business owner, one must take from time to time. The blades are ridiculously pricey, meaning the crinkle cut blades, are ridiculously pricey and flimsy. It takes many blades to operate the cutter, and after sinking thousands, yet thousands, I chose to go with the alternative cut. They are still fresh cut daily. We still use the best potatoes available in Maine. It is still a very expensive French fry, and our process minus the crinkle cut is still the same fry.
So they didn't mess with like seasoning or anything.
Straight fried.
And they're not waffle. They're crinkle.
They're crinkle cut.
Waffle, that'd be it.
All right, we can settle down.
She says, all that being said, to speak to my first comment of hostile remarks from the public, I just want to say I will absolutely not tolerate being sworn at, threatened, physical harm to myself, my husband, and children. It is unacceptable here at Bali's and should never, capital all caps, never be tolerated anywhere. I apologize to the customers whom I know would much prefer a crinkle cut fry and have graciously accepted our change. I appreciate the feedback from those who have respectfully discussed the change. We had much support for the change, and many have pleasantly surprised how much they prefer the straight cut fry. Now, Parsons says that the change was, again, like I said, a financial decision because of the blades being costly and they need to be replaced monthly. I didn't realize that about a crinkle-cut fry cutter. She says many people felt as the new owners, because they recently took over the restaurant, as the new owners of the restaurant, they were changing a tradition that had been in place since 1962. Parsons says,
fucking new management.
Parsons says that despite the criticism, 99.9% of their customers are awesome.
But that 0.01%, they're
going to
nail you in the fucking wall.
Hi, Annette.
Hello, Annette. And now we're back to being international again.
This is fantastic.
God, this is
weird.
Our
dream of being a morning show.
By the way,
we're back.
Joe and Meowkel and Mama Di, settle down. We don't mean that at you at all because we just love you guys. But how exciting it is to see Nero.
When we go international like that.
And Amina
around the
again.
World.
It's been
a long
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On to Doug Wilkie's attempt at a headline.
Oh, wow. I just want to say, though, this crinkle cut business, who cares?
Who cares?
But waffle
I do
fries,
enjoy
the
crinkle
waffle
fries.
Spice,
yeah, those spicy,
I get it.
The, what are they yeah. called? The spicy fries. Fries. Yeah, when they're like got that little, that that seasoning on it. You know, yeah. there's a little zhuzh or something yeah. special.
Zhuzh. Zhuzh. We haven't used zhuzh in a long time.
I can't go backwards on that shit. Once you start, because even the chicken fuckers, I got to agree on those waffle fries.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had
them. I won't go there.
Now, my mom found a lovely selection in the frozen food section for waffle fries.
You never been to the mall
fries.
And have them, like, shove them in your mouth?
No.
Oh, they're aggressive in the mall.
No.
Again, my mother found some lovely frozen crinkle cut fries somewhere at the fries that she fries store. And she made them in the oven. They're wonderful.
Sure.
No, they're really wonderful. Mom, you have to remind me what those are.
No, I can't have them at home. No.
Oh, I agree. And I'm going to agree with Joe. I'm going to agree with Joe on this. Crinkle cut fries
That's
at Del
funny.
Taco, yes. those are awesome too.
Del Taco's gross.
Del Taco? Oh my God, a macho burrito,
oh my
whatever
God,
the fuck.
It makes me want to vomit.
Yes, I mean, you're allowed to self promote, and no, I can't eat at the
Aaron
Del Taco.
Aaron likes it, and I'm just
There's a line. And
there
the Del
is
Taco,
a line where we
and
have
to,
yes.
And the Del Taco is beneath
yeah.
the line.
It's not okay.
Wow.
It's
How
not
ghetto,
a,
really?
It's not okay.
No, hashtag it's not okay.
Kidding.
We have to bring
hashtag
that back.
It's not okay.
But you're not allowed to have parentheses. You're not allowed to have apostrophes.
That's right.
So it's got to be it is not
it
okay.
It is not okay. Good call.
But is
That's
it
right.
okay or okay-ay if we're going to have
Either
it.
Way,
say okay.
I'm comfortable with okay.
Okay, like I am too.
Makes the hashtag a little bit.
All right, Queen.
Just read your fucking story.
So here's my headline.
Stay away from Delta.
Because I thought this was very interesting. I was a little surprised. It was interesting. So Michael Jackson's Thriller has been the number one album of all time.
It's still
for
dead.
Quite some time.
Yeah.
But now it has been surpassed.
Oh, can I guess?
Week.
Can I guess?
Yes.
The Eagles' greatest hits.
Yes.
Oh,
Did
wow.
you already know?
Yeah, because it yeah.
Oh.
Okay. They go back and forth.
So the Eagles' greatest hits.
So that was not a guess. That was a loaded comment.
Yeah,
that's exactly
see?
Right.
Okay. Fuck you
Cheater.
All.
Cheater.
Sons of bitches.
The Eagles' greatest hits album beats Michael Jackson's Thriller as number one album of all time. So it has moonwalked, as they say, Michael Jackson's Thriller.
That was good. I enjoyed
that. To become history's best-selling album of all time. The Recording Industry Association of America told the Associated Press on Monday that the Eagles' album, here it comes, their greatest hits from 71 to 75, is now certified 38 times platinum.
Holy fuck.
Which means sales and streams of the album have reached 38 million copies. The album was released in 1976, pushes Michael Jackson's Thriller, which is only 33 times platinum, to second place. So they're way ahead.
But
now.
You have to admit, that Eagles' greatest hits album
is
awesome.
Yeah.
Album.
It's amazing.
It's a great album.
It's a must-have.
Yeah, it really is.
Well,
it's
if you want to tie it together to yours, I mean, Glenn Frey, still dead, but fries, waffle fries. Look at that.
Oh,
hello,
wow.
I did that.
Wow, I didn't know that was a game we were playing, but I did.
I didn't know either.
Hey, top that one.
I feel like there's more in that Starbucks cup than
if that
coffee.
Wasn't enough already for them.
Oh,
it
but
says,
wait, there's more?
There's more.
Oh, Doug.
The Eagles Hotel,
if you buy two.
The Eagles Hotel California, released in 1977, is now 26 times platinum and makes it the third best-selling album of all time. The Eagles have the number one and three best-selling albums of all time.
So they're sandwiching
time.
Jackson.
That is amazing.
And Said another that, fun fact about that little era is that Fleetwood Mac Rumors pops up in the top five. So by like 1977, you had... Like, I think it's three of the top 10 albums of all time. Like, Rumors has stayed, because Rumors was the best-selling album of all time until Thriller. And then slowly I turned. The Eagles' greatest hits kept getting re-released and reselling. Mm-hmm. And then each new platform, everybody needed their Eagles' greatest hits. So they have...
It's working for them.
Yeah, it's
sure.
working. So and so this must be, like, the streaming has won them again.
So, yes. And that is one of my questions is, like, you know, why is that happening? So that's an interesting, you know,
well, some of it's got to be happening with the streaming, because, you know, you bought it on vinyl.
Right.
Then you bought it on cassette or 8-track.
Right. An 8-track.
And then you bought it on CD. Yeah, so now you're buying it on
streaming. Yeah, of all the ways that your car could play it.
Right.
And the Eagles' greatest hits is, like, the greatest common denominator of any,
everyone
any group
will listen
of people.
To it.
Like, put that on and, you know, there's like one clunker on that album, but I can even get through that one. Even I'm like, well, if I'm alone, I'll fast forward it. But if somebody else in the car is like,
humming
I like
along.
This song, I'm like, oh, right.
It's another Tequila Sunrise.
They're clarifying this
That's
for
the
you.
One I don't like.
Oh, it's another
yeah.
that platinum sale was once equivalent to selling 1 million albums or songs. But in 2013, the company began incorporating streaming from YouTube, Spotify, and other digital musical services to determine certification for albums and songs. Now, 1,500 streams of an album is equivalent to an album sale. Also, 10 song downloads equal one album sale.
Now that's why they've redone this, is because of the new rules. Because it used to be, like, in straight up just sales, like, you actually had to, like, you had to hand somebody money and they had to hand you
an album
music,
or a CD.
Or, like, iTunes. Like, you pay the no streaming services. Because that seems like a big jump. Because the last time that I had seen the numbers, the actual physical movement of product, or you went somewhere you had to buy it, that counted too.
Yeah.
They were in the 20 million. So 38 million, that's a huge jump.
But now
if you're including streaming, and then like Glenn Frey just died, which increased their sales. Right. When Michael Jackson died, the sales of Thriller went batshit again.
Yeah. Yep.
It's crazy.
Would you like to know what Henley revealed in a 2016 interview about the band's classic Hotel California is about?
Please.
I always say it's a journey from innocence to experience. It's not really about California. It's about America, Henley said. It's about the dark underbelly of the American dream. It's about excess. It's about narcissism.
Materialism.
It's about the music business. It's about a lot of different things. It can have a million interpretations. It's universal. Huh. Pretty cool. But I just thought that was very interesting that is the new number one.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
I'm not mad at that being the new number one.
I'm not either.
Still,
I like it. I like Thriller too. That's epic and amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But people kind of know that. Like if you say, people go, Thriller, you know.
Right.
I don't know that everybody would jump out and say, especially younger people
now. The Eagles.
Right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
The best of all of those is still Rumors. Like that album is
my favorite.
Rock fucking solid. Every single song. There's not a guitar lick.
It's so good.
Out of place anywhere.
We need to start downloading that so that goes back up.
But it's got to be. It's super high because it was. Saturday Night Live, 77. Because Saturday Night Live was the other one. Like from 77, there are so many albums that make the top 10. For some reason, that year of music was just ripe with stuff that would live
the
forever.
The weed was perfect that year.
And the cocaine.
Right.
They was doing.
Coke was good back in the 70s and 80s. So.
Thank you for your insight, Doug.
I meant that as a
finger on
observation.
The
pulse.
Yeah. Whitney Houston liked it too.
Yeah.
Yep.
She had receipts.
She had the 90s Coke though.
But it is interesting that when I think back,
thanks Obama,
like, she lost the Pepsi challenge
in the late 70s is when my mom worked for the ABC record company, and she was responsible for traveling to local stores and restocking their vinyl. That was what she did.
Is so cool.
So she wound up with a
Mama
Die,
that's very cool.
She wound up with a shit ton of albums, which I now have in my room. But I remember growing up around so much great music, and it was so many different things. It was George Benson. It was the Eagles. It was Fleetwood Mac. It was so many different things. But you're right. That whole era, that late 70s era, just had so much great music.
And everybody was listening to so many different styles at the time. So, like, Kenny Rogers was having hits with ELO.
Sure.
And they were on the same station. Like, you'd go, you would seriously go from The Gambler to Mr. Blue Sky. Like, without even... And you wouldn't even think twice about it as to how you made that jump. You know
I used to listen to an album, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. I used to listen to them a long time ago.
Yep.
And I haven't listened to that in years. I may have to dig that out and put it on the old turntable.
Yeah, I like it.
And, you know, if something was a hit, it was The Devil Goes Down to Georgia. I know every fucking word.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of some country western shit kicker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's an ass bag, that one.
Oh, he is.
God.
But the song is great.
The song is great. I'm not going to lie.
It's sort of like Madonna. You like the waffle fries at Chick-fil-A, but you don't like...
That's true. Fair point.
Still
well made.
All right.
Marty, what you got?
And definitely, Nero, just hold on.
Lots going on, Nero.
Our day is Christmas. We'll get to that.
We should talk about Aretha Franklin.
Well, we are when we get there.
Oh, okay.
I have a whole segment.
Oh, all right.
We have a whole show planned, Doug.
Oh, good.
Well,
you don't tell me. That's part of my contract.
As
a contributor, I read the fine print, Clayton.
It equates to your pay.
Yeah.
What I know about this show is exactly what I'm paying.
That's exactly
for the show.
Right.
They're the same.
You're on a need-to-know basis.
That's right.
Marty Wire.
She would be covered in Death Gen, but we got rid of that.
Yeah.
We got rid of that segment.
So,
do it again.
If you can imagine.
I can't.
Not yet.
This is going to be a long story, isn't it?
No, actually, no.
I can usually tell when you start.
No.
You car fucker.
Because, oh, my God. That was one of my favorite things you've ever sent me. So you hear things, right? And, like, you can kind of, oh, my God, that sounds really good, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody brings something up, like a new mix. You've got your peanut butter and my chocolate, you know, whatever. The, like, Reese's peanut butter cup.
Okay.
Now imagine that in whipped cream. Mm. Do you like peanut butter?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Do you like Hershey's?
I do.
Yep. Hershey's and Reese's whipped cream are finally here. It's together.
So that's three things? I need to see this.
I wish you'd send me fucking... I could put pictures
up.
Oh,
yes. We might need a picture.
I'll send it to you.
So I can Google it faster.
That's a squirt can I can get behind.
Yeah.
Or in front of, depending.
So
as of... I've had this one for a little while, but as of July 18th...
You've been holding out, Marnie?
Well, kind of, yeah. I missed a couple. Sorry. It's officially hit stores. And back a month ago... it was spotted only at Hy-Vees in the Midwest, here in the States, but it's expected to be rolled out to most major retailers soon. So I'm going to look that up in a minute.
Ooh, okay, so we have to try this. We have to get both of these?
Yeah, and put that shit together? Come on.
Just bongs. Let's just do bongs.
Well, isn't that right? I mean,
wait, they're both whipped toppings?
There's
there's a Reese's peanut butter cup. There, and then
so now you've got your chocolate in my peanut butter, and you can put it together.
You just mix the whipped creams together?
Yes. Chocolate, my peanut butter, anytime you need
Wait, you mix them together, or you put them on something?
Well, I don't care. I think sprayed in my mouth.
However you get there.
However you get there. Just get there.
So confusing.
You're a man.
For sugar lovers, whipped cream is a very important topping. Mm. It turns out snacks that are already tasting amazing to you, ice cream and pie and pancakes.
Over the top, man.
Into insane masterpieces, I say.
Woo! I just
if you agree, you're going to be alone with it. Yeah. I'm
spray
saying,
peanut butter.
Mm, sit down for this. Rumor has it, this is the original story, that Hershey's and Reese's whipped cream are soon to be hitting shelves, which now we know, and I will update by the end of the show.
I'll go park in front of Fry's right now.
I picture Al in a room all alone with that can of whipped cream.
I'm saying.
Oh my God.
Your imagination will let you do the rest.
More aerosol food products.
Right. Imagine
it's just what we needed. To weaponize peanut butter.
How hungry is this? This is going to make everybody like super hungry. I mean, unless you're allergic to dairy. But yeah. Whatever.
Fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them. Right. Imagine.
That's your goddamn fault.
That's your fault.
There's pills for that.
That's something. Imagine an ice cream sundae with your usual suspects. Massive scoops of ice cream, nuts, cookie pieces.
Fruit. I don't know why I got to waste time with all that food, but I can
maraschino
put the
cherry.
In my mouth.
Why are we
but
still
instead
here?
Of adding a scoop, yeah, we should go.
We can get to the Midwest and, like, I don't know.
I could have that chip shipped here. Wait, yeah,
I'm gonna go on the Fry's food stores app and see if they've got it in stock.
Meow Cow lives in the Midwest.
I know. Meow Cow.
Am I using that term correctly?
Yes.
Midwest. Okay.
Yes. Yes, you are.
It's kind of like vegetable. I don't know how
fly
to say
over
it.
Now,
many look to the comment section of the food Instagrammers post to share their freak out publicly. People are freaking the fuck out about this. So it's an EpiPen. It's a good call. The only thing left to do now is basically wait patiently to see if we're going to get that here in the A of Z. So, they had reached out to Hershey's to confirm this unreal news. Hadn't heard back yet, but apparently real thing. I don't.
Because if that's fake, I'm going to beat you.
Oh, yeah. Because sometimes these things cut, they show them and they're fake.
No, because it's...
He's going to beat you with a can of whipped cream.
Here, first of all, there was an update. Second of all...
Does spray cheese exist?
Second of all...
It does. I do have spray cheese.
Delish. This is on the delish.com website. So it's like recipes and all that kind of stuff. So they're too like fucking uppity to, you know, this isn't... What do you call it? What's the onion?
Yeah.
No.
An onion flavor of something.
No.
she means the onion mango. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But they would do those things.
Like the flavor.
Lasagna chips. And it's like,
ooh.
Fry's does not list it on their app as to having it at this point. They do, however, have a... There is an international... Oh, I didn't know this. There's an International Delight Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Coffee Creamer.
Oh, we have that at home. And and let me tell you what I just found. Now let me tell you what I just found. Oreo.
By the way, this
cookie.
Is our cooking segment.
Oreo cookie cream.
Okay. I can dig that. I love Oreos.
That sounds good.
Heaven.
And that comes with an
heaven. Oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way, just a sidebar. I went to the grocery store today. It is not even the beginning of September, and
if
all of the Halloween shit is up.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say pumpkin spice, and I was going to kill
myself. Oh, that's everywhere.
But when you walk in the store, it's all autumn. The whole fucking thing is all set to be autumn.
And I'm like, what motherfucker is really going to buy candy now to give to children in 2 months? You're eating that shit.
That's such a lie.
Don't tell me you're planning something.
You goddamn liar.
Assholes.
We're going to...
Sons of bitches.
We got to find a store that has this shit.
I'm on it.
If this is the upside to Trump being president is weaponized peanut butter, I am back.
Diabetics, beware.
Oh, whoa.
I just meant you could take that into a grade school and kill off half the kids with spray peanut butter.
Let's see. Is this
Are you reading something else into it, or should Al do a story?
I'm just saying, I'm seeing it at Walmart.
Oh, are you?
Goddamn Walmart.
Yeah, but you can order it online and it'll show up at your door.
Why does the Evil Empire always
have
everything
but it's
I want.
Only the Hershey's, so give me a minute.
Okay.
Yeah. Al, what do you got?
All right, so.
All of a sudden, Doug's moving it along now.
I'm going to host the damn show now.
It moved. Twitter. Our buddies at Twitter.
Startling.
The tweets.
Taunt Steve Bannon with reworked movies.
What?
Posters. Oh. Titles. Steve Bannon has inspired some impressive creativity on the part of Twitter user. The hashtag Steve Bannon a movie hashtag started trending on the social media site Friday night following the former White House chief strategist sit down with MSNBC, in which he defended President Donald Trump's stance on last year's white nationalist rally in Charlottesville. The 64-year-old kind of dying man said his former boss was absolutely correct when he declared there was blame on both sides following the deadly riots. As a result, many began reimagining their favorite movie titles to reflect Bannon's controversial statements. Here are a few of the most notable. Saving Paul Ryan. Hate Actually. Gestapo's coming to dinner. You've got male entitlement. Breitbart likes Big City.
That's
Dude,
good.
Where's my czar? Throw mama from the Medicaid. I know what you did last election.
That's good.
Do the Reich thing, the Reich stuff.
The Reich stuff. That's good.
Fascist times at Ridgemont High.
That's good one.
The fascist and the furious. Schindler's List 2, very fine people on both sides. All the president's henchmen. Broken Democracy Mountain. White Pride and Prejudice.
Who came
fantastic.
Up with these?
They're all over. It's the hashtag is Steve Bannon a movie.
Oh, everyone's just contributing.
Yeah.
That's why they're so good.
Internal dimwit of the demented mind.
That's fantastic.
Battlefield Earth, no changes needed.
That's very witty.
That's very good.
That's very good.
Full mental jacket.
Oh, I like that.
Mental jacket.
Wag the dog whistle. Honorable mentions include The Bigot Lebowski, The Kids Are Alt-Right, No Country for Brown Men, and Driving Misogyny.
The fact that those are
The Kids Are Alt-Right.
That's great.
The Kids Are Alt-Right.
I love Driving Misogyny.
And
it would certainly make that movie more interesting.
Well, that's a great drag name, too.
Yeah, right?
Misogyny.
Misogyny.
Yeah.
Misogyny. That's a great drag name.
Amina has weaponized peanut butter should be in the stupid military parade. But
it
that
would
was
make
canceled,
it
was it not?
Delayed.
Oh, no.
Delayed. I thought it was canceled.
Delayed.
I thought
there was a cancel.
2019. Mm-hmm.
No, I thought there was delay at first, and then I thought cancel came later.
It turns out they need to elect a different mayor of D.C., which is never going to happen. I mean, they're never going to get a Republican mayor. D.C. votes 97% to 3% Democratic. So they have opposition right there in the backyard.
Ready and waiting.
And they just have set up every conceivable literal and figurative roadblock to the parade, including the cost, because they won't do it. And it's, you know, it's one of those things where, there was a funny joke. I don't know if it was from Bill Maher, where they were saying if D.C. really wanted to be a state, if it was a Democratic Congress, they would like allow them to vote and make their choice. But they would like, there's just no chance. Like they want to become a state. They're like, it's so heavily Democratic
that
never you would need like big majorities everywhere to get D.C. and Puerto Rico to become states.
Mm. Yeah.
But so they're saying you have just as much luck having them to throw a parade for Trump and Puerto Rico right now. But I just loved driving misogyny because
that's
a friend of mine from the bar, Link, that used to come in, hated that movie, and it used to crack me up because I thought I was the only person that just hated that movie. Yeah,
you had a soulmate.
He used to call it "Let the Bitch Walk."
Let the bitch walk. Yeah. And I didn't hate the movie as much as you do, but I hate the fact that it won Best Picture, and that was the same year as Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing.
Do the Right Thing.
One of the greatest films ever made.
So you get a movie about racial injustice that wins.
Right. Again,
white privilege shining its ugly face.
Yeah, exactly. So, thanks, Obama.
Yeah hashtag. That's fantastic.
For some reason, you're on that all night.
No, you never know.
We're on that every night.
That's all you have to be. Because it's his fault.
All right. Philadelphia's Temple University is honoring a 45-year-long relationship sparked in a campus elevator. Sharon Rubin and Eric Schlesinger briefly met on move-in day on September 6, 1972, while she was moving in and he was operating the dorm building elevator. The Philadelphia Inquirer reports that Rubin formally introduced herself a few days later at a college mixer, walking up to Schlesinger and saying, "Hi, Mr. Elevator Man." The quote is now affixed to the elevator, which will be named for Sherry Rubin Schlesinger on this upcoming Friday. She died last year from colon cancer, unfortunately. She and her elevator man husband had been married for more than 42 years. Eric Schlesinger says meeting his future wife in the elevator was, quote, the most important thing that had happened to him at Temple University. Here is the plaque that will be affixed to the elevator. In loving memory to my wife, Sharon Rubin Schlesinger, who first met me in this elevator on September 6, 1972, 42 plus years of marriage, begin with the quote, "Hi, Mr. Elevator Man."
Oh, that is sweet.
I thought that August 17th, 2018 is the date on the plaque.
You girls in apartments don't just sit at home doing nothing. Go meet the Elevator Man.
Get on it. I thought that was a very cute story.
I like it.
Unfortunately, she has left us, but I like the memory of that will continue on of her meeting in 72.
Lovely.
Just a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. Just a few years back.
Yeah. Mr. Wilkie?
Well, mine is, this one's not, this is a serious, more
That's
serious
okay.
one.
Nothing wrong with
so
that.
So if we're in the humor mood and we want to take a pass, I will not be
No, we go up and down.
No.
This show, we vacillate.
Yeah.
So I just.
Good word.
Thank you.
I thought it might be interesting to talk about, you know, the Me Too movement and that was existed before Harvey Weinstein, but you know, breathe life into this.
I like to talk later about the "Why Not Me" movement.
Yeah.
We still found the humor.
No, still I want to talk about the "It Could Have Been Me" movement.
So, Asia Argento, who was one of the first Harvey Weinstein accusers and one of the most vocal, and has been kind of one of the leaders in this movement. Was just accused of her own sexual harassment.
Oh, I read
with
about
a 17-year-old boy
okay.
who she had acted in a movie years ago when he was only like 6. They reunited for another film. She is denying this now. So this is sort of the updated version, saying, and if you a frame of reference for her, she was the girlfriend of Anthony Bourdain at the time that he killed himself. But she's been, when we say vocal, they showed a picture of her at the Cannes Film Festival, and she comes out and gives this big thing and talks about how all the people in the Me Too movement that have gotten caught, and then she's like, but we haven't caught all the ones in the room yet. You know, so there's what they're saying now is,
and guess what, I'm one of them.
And exactly, she's in the room. And this is, now this is just an accusation, but according to Me Too, this is where I wanted to go with this. All victims must be believed. It's one of their tenets, right?
Yep.
Unless, of course, it's this one now.
Yeah,
so
right.
She's denying. So it says she denied Tuesday morning that she ever had sexual relationship with an underage male. There is, however, a photograph that they took together of themselves in bed. Italian actress, who was once the first to publicly accuse Harvey Weinstein of sexual assault, was accused of secretly paying off a young male actor who accused her of sexual misconduct in the months after her revelations about the disgraced movie mogul. Argento said this assault never happened. However, she did say a payment was made to the child actor Jimmy Bennett by her then boyfriend, the late Anthony Bourdain, so Bennett would stop harassing them. So they're saying he's a liar. I am deeply shocked and hurt having read the news that is absolutely false, she said in a statement. Sounds very much like when all people deny sexual harassment. And assault. She said in the statement, I have never had any sexual relationship with Bennett. Argento says he tried to extort her, and that does happen too. Tom Cruise, it has been like there have been extortion attempts on him for his entire career. So this can go either way. And rather than having a long drawn out battle in the press amid the Weinstein scandal, it was Bourdain who said a payment would be made in order to make the situation disappear. This goes on, it's kind of long, so I'm not going to read you the whole thing. She says, I have no other choice to oppose such false allegations. We'll assume in the short term all necessary initiatives for my protection before all competent venues. So she's saying that this is like a backlash from the Harvey Weinstein people. Okay. And I don't know. I'm not saying she did or didn't do it, but why didn't she talk about this? Mm-hmm. This is where I think the hypocrisy might be is, well, why didn't she talk about this while she was talking like, about everything?
Hey, I've been accused of something too.
Right.
Yeah.
Harvey Weinstein this. And so now the whole thing's turning into it. Just to cut to the chase, it's a big shit storm right now, which I think is terrible.
That's
because
a
the
technical
Me Too,
term,
the,
I do appreciate that.
Me Too movement is a good thing. Now the reactionaries are saying the Me Too movement is, you know, is invalid and blah, blah. Now, what's her name? The one that I like. What is her name? I'm drawing a blank. Alyssa Milano is saying, you know, we can't invalidate the whole Me Too movement over one thing, but it's really
not one thing.
Over this one thing,
right?
But that one, right?
It's not assault. Like that, and again, we're in that weird territory where, like, not assaulted. She had sex with somebody underage. There's a big,
if she even did,
right?
We don't even know.
But we have to draw the line for someone saying she assaulted him,
right?
Like, consensual sex with somebody underage is much different than assaulting someone.
Right, and if they want to go with whatever the law is, then that would be statutory rape.
It absolutely would be. It
so
also should be something
you
should be admitting
it, then,
to, so, if it happened.
But that's, if you're going to say, then that's what it is, right?
And I might have misrepresented. Alyssa Milano was saying, whatever, if it was true or even if it's not, we can't say the whole Me Too movement is wrong.
I'm reading.
Were you answering the people in there? Oh, okay.
And you at the same time.
I'm sorry, I'm not paying attention.
I agree with everybody that it doesn't negate the whole.
No, it doesn't.
And saying stuff
it
like
doesn't.
That. She just has to be transparent. If you're going to stand up there and accuse, you got to clean out your closet first.
Yeah.
And make stuff known, especially since right after Harvey was Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey's dirty deed was. And you weren't here when we talked about this, but who let their 14-year-old son go to an adult male's apartment?
Exactly.
Like, who's in charge of the kid? And
remember the whole Miley Cyrus cover of Vanity Fair when she was like, was it 14 or 15? And she, they had her drop her bra straps. And there was a big controversy. She was on the cover of Vanity Fair, underage, you know. And this big thing was,
that closer to you.
Okay.
They went after Vanity Fair like crazy. This is when Miley started. And saying this, that, you know, they should be taken. Just how horrible they were. They were child molesters photographing her.
Because she was Hannah Montana at the time?
Yeah, she was Hannah Montana at the time.
Disney Channel.
Yeah. Well, and the first thing I thought of, well, because I went and read it, was you can't go to a shooting like that. It's not allowed without adults, like a guardian or parent. Billy Ray Cyrus was 6 feet away when that photograph was taken. So fuck off.
Yeah.
They were saying, well, Vanity Fair has terrible morals. Okay, they're a magazine.
Her dad was
so
right
does
there.
Her fucking father. And I love Vanity Fair's response when they were questioned. They said, I love this. They said, well, we're just told our photographs just hold up a mirror to society.
Yeah.
If you there you go.
They were saying she is selling herself. She is whoring herself out at 14. Sure. You know, our picture is what she does on stage.
Right.
And so, anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right.
So I'm in my teacher head a little bit because about like this Me Too and all of this, though, it just shows that it's very complex.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't like when people oversimplify it. AG Argento may or may not be lying. There may be females that may or may not be lying. I pushed back on Me Too, and they're like, every victim has to be believed. No, they don't.
Right.
They do not all have to be believed. You should give them the benefit of the doubt, but do some. And on this.
But
I know.
But everyone is innocent until proven guilty.
I will tell you this. I'll drop a little knowledge from school. False reporting of sexual assault in general and sexual harassment runs between like 2 and 7%.
Yeah,
so it's extremely low, but not zero.
It's also against the law.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, there's that.
Let's go to another piece of, you know.
So anyway, ridiculous. I just thought I'd throw that out there to whatever comments.
Yeah.
And then is like Capturing the Freedmans is on HBO again.
Oh, my God.
Again.
I just watched it again. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it again.
It wasn't as good the second time around.
It was shocking to find out that it's been 15 years, and we're so used to everyone taping every part of their lives that part of that is no, like,
it's kind
of
lost.
I wasn't shocked.
Yeah, it wasn't as shocking.
It wasn't as shocking. Right. Like, especially after watching The Staircase, where, like, they invited a documentary crew in to film, like, the day after conviction. But they really do say, and I'll talk about this a little bit in the entertainment section, but the bias going in and that their lives were ruined and they knew it immediately.
Yeah.
And it just became save the son. Like, at one point it just became, we have to throw the father overboard. Like, there's, we can't save him.
Sure.
We have to save the child from child molestation charges. We can't have this 18-year-old go the rest of his life with this hanging around his neck. True or false?
Right.
None of it rang at all true, and you have children that you want to believe, but like the stories don't make any sense. And there was this fervor back in the 80s to just, everybody was so on edge that like
Child molesters.
There was the McMartin.
That McMartin's case is fascinating.
It is fascinating.
It's fascinating. And these children were not interviewed correctly. And like in the 90s, it became called.
Was that a family? McMartin's.
Yes, McMartin's.
Mm-hmm. It was a school, a kindergarten. The McMartins owned a preschool? Like a private preschool.
Yeah.
This is a good example of when you plant. It's called suggestions to kids. Yeah. But it's another thing that gets less talked about. Just called like hysteria.
Sure.
It whipped through. So one kid was like, "I think they touched me," or and that's because an adult was saying, "Did they touch? Did they touch you?"
And did they touch you right there?
And the kid's like, "They did." Yeah. But like 2 weeks later, 30 kids are all like, "They touched me too." And the whole, I mean, and then the whole thing went to court. They were going to put these people in prison. It was horrible. Yeah. And none of it happened. It was all
and the Freedmans is a similar story that like if these kids were being just mass raped, I mean, it was to the point of like like assembly line precision.
Yeah.
But the parents showed up unexpectedly at all times of day. There was never
they were
any
picking
abuse.
Their kids up.
They
yeah.
were picking their like surprise picking their kids up. Like, sorry, I'm early. We gotta
kids
go.
Kids were happy and like, I can't wait to go back.
Yeah, and they were like recommending their the younger siblings to go. But once it started,
I like it when they.
And then the one kid had a diary of like how much he was liking it, and he no one knew he was writing in his diary, and he brings it up as evidence of like. I was a happy kid.
Yeah, nobody molested me.
But they told me that I was in denial and must have had a problem.
And then they'll say, you don't remember.
You just don't remember. And like,
you were traumatized.
And you're, you're in this horrible story, so there's so much.
For those that haven't seen it, I think it's good to. The reason why there was no credibility, though, is the dad of it. He was caught red-handed with purchasing, at the time there was no internet, purchasing child pornography from Europe. And they were kind of on to him, and then they the police went from
one magazine that they find in the mail to a stack of like 20 magazines or something. But then when they tell it, when the DA tells the story, they were piled up next to the piano. Like, the number of magazines in the story goes from the one they delivered to a stack to like you can
also, as the defense attorney was pointing out, you can look at child pornography and not rape children. The likelihood might be higher, but they're saying because but you don't have any credibility. So at this point, once the allegations came out, it was like the but that doesn't mean that anything
but it
happened.
it sunk the father. But it really is.
Oh, it's so good. That movie is one of the best documentaries ever. Capturing the Freedmans. Watch it.
You've seen that, haven't you?
I have not yet, but I've got it written down. There's a note on my desk to remind me. But you said
Netflix.
But I looked one time and I couldn't
HBO.
Find it. It wasn't on
HBO.
It. But now you say it's on HBO. Yep.
Al and I talked about this when it happened because you did the same thing. It remains the only documentary when I watch it, the minute it was done, I pressed play and watched it again.
Yeah.
Just right there. Watched the whole damn thing.
No, yeah. I do. Fantastic. It's on my list of things to watch.
So good.
And it's right up there with Paradise Lost, the West Memphis 3. Like,
fantastic.
Those movies have just like, but again, bias. I mean, we talk about that all the time. Like,
and speaking of when Poor Mama Di was like, why would you watch that kind of thing? But that Dear John that I was talking about. We had done the Aaron and I listened to that.
I was seeing the documentary Dear Zachary.
Dear John is now going to be turned into something, I believe, on Netflix.
Oh wow!
I think it's going to be on Netflix. Aaron was telling me, and I didn't. I should have followed up a little bit more with her, but something they're creating. Mm-hmm. And I think going to use it, do it as a documentary.
Not on the same level at all, but didn't we talk about the fact that the podcast that we were listening to in the South, the guy is being made into a movie.
Oh, wow. Oh, that makes sense.
I thought we talked about that too. Not that it equates to the other two, but anyway.
Well, and you were talking about the Me Too movement, yes. And to carry on to the fact that Lindsay Lohan is a cunt.
Oh, yeah. So I yield my time to the senator from Vermont. From the senator from Pepsi.
Thank you. Thank you.
Senator from Pepsi.
I will accept that challenge.
Al, we need to find Joan Crawford Pepsi promotion picture. If you can do that.
I will accept that challenge. All right. Get a Pepsi challenge. That's cute. Yeah.
I'm on the board of directors of this
lousy company. We're going to find a photograph for
I will come out publicly against your product.
With what
it's a double
kind of what sword. We were talking about. So Lohan did not choose her words
I'm dying to know what she did.
She's a cunt.
Yeah.
She didn't choose her words very well. But
has
it's
she
interesting,
ever?
Though, that it, because what she said is what makes her not good. But when we look at the with that Me Too movement, mm-hmm. I had I've shared it in here a couple of times. I put something when the first time I heard Alyssa Milano or heard the hashtag Me Too, it was the night of a show, and I got home and I was watching CNN, and I just sat there and I was like, I feel like I need to do this. There was something about what she had said, and I thought, you know, I need to share my story. Like, it became a thing mm-hmm. for me. And I chose to do that because I didn't want the idea of any boys, girls, men, women to think that it was their fault or, you know, that maybe has only happened to me and those things that people do think. But then it became this trendy thing. Mm. And I don't mean the hashtag.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean that it happened to me too.
Yeah.
It happened to me too. And we talked about perception being reality.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that was the big thing that that Al kept saying is your perception. And if you perceived, you were talking about that gal in eighth grade.
Yeah, ma'am.
And that that's what she perceived. And if that's...
Perceived that it was?
That it's something that affected her. She didn't...
Right. That's something that was supposed to be like playful or behavior, which to her was aggressive.
Right.
Yes.
And
got it.
Okay. And so that kind of thing is something people don't like. It bothered her, you know, but I'm not trying to put a tag on something that says, no, mine was real,
mm-hmm.
right? Yours was annoying because that makes me an asshole. That makes me Lindsay Lohan.
Mm-hmm. It's up for the person to make that
right.
interpretation,
but when
right?
you go not out there and make a statement, about, now it becomes about the
I'm
Me
confused.
Too. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
About the fact that the was it battery? Was it not? Was it rape? Was it annoying? Did it cross a line?
Right.
Where, you know, and is it something that could be prosecuted? Running around a pool table in your basement or whatever it was, mm-hmm. probably not going to get prosecuted. Right. Date rape could be prosecuted
right
within the statute of limitations. So when you when people are saying these are the same thing,
oh yeah,
that's where it becomes an issue.
Yes,
because then
okay, now I'm back with you.
Sorry, yeah. Then it lessens.
Right, somebody touching your ass and someone raping you are two different offenses.
Right,
and you have to like draw.
And I'm not saying
line.
That one is okay hey, over another.
Right. This is the important thing because I was just in a meeting about this the other day because I was leaning towards the whole thing. Bill Maher talked. This is great mm-hmm. about this with Matt Damon.
Okay,
and Matt Damon mm-hmm. got in trouble for mm-hmm. saying we want to. You know, he's like, can we have a dialogue? He said, I'm confused. I don't know that someone grabbing your ass at the Christmas party
right.
is the same as being raped. And everybody came for his head and whatever. And
he was a misogynist.
Right. He was a misogynist. You know, this whole, he has to have no career and die and, you know, the whole thing. And he was just asking the question, and Bill Maher really defended that because they are not the same thing. Mm-mm. But I did have somebody, and Bill Maher does a bit about it, and I agree. But I did have something, and, you know, I'm keeping an open mind, explained to me by some colleagues at work that said, however, it doesn't mean that the grabbing your ass isn't traumatic to the person who
absolutely.
Had their ass
absolutely not.
And they were afraid. Maybe they jumped a little too quick. But the lady that explained to me, it was, and I got it, she's an expert in the area, and she said Matt Damon doesn't have a right to say ass grabbing doesn't count.
Sure,
and she's absolutely right. Yeah. Although I don't think that's what he said. But
No.
Is this making sense?
Yeah, because it does.
But
it, does,
it goes to the fringe for me.
Yeah.
That's where it goes
it
to
does,
the fringe
for me. It does, of course, count, especially if it keeps.
It like, does if, count. If it, especially if you've been traumatized before.
Traumatized before. If it's keeping you from advancement. If you don't feel safe.
It's a whole lot of reasons it's more fucked up than we might think.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of things where it fits into the big. You know, we're all one melting pot of things, but you have to do
but the actual, acts,
actual physical assault as something you have
acts
to put
the outside of the context are not. Interestingly enough, it's called isolated incidents in the world of criminology and criminal justice. They're not the same thing.
Okay.
But I mean, the actual acts is written in the statutes,
sure.
Right? But rarely do those things. The thing you have to know is they all occur in context, every single one of them. And maybe you've never had any issue in your life and someone grabs your ass at a Christmas party and you think it's funny. And I think that happens all the time. That honestly, I would not, I don't know if I'd be traumatized, but if you have some kind of history of that, you don't know.
Right.
You know, people being too close to you, if you've been molested as a child, is could really ring your bell. And other people are like, well, it doesn't bother me.
Right.
So specific acts do not mean the same thing. There's very different context within which that they occur.
And it just keep your hands to yourself. And if you're the boss,
and ask,
super keep your hands
to yourself.
And ask
if you can, you know, ask.
But what, and
can I grab your ass?
Right, exactly. And if you're going to go to that far
I have actually, actually asked permission to do that.
And there's nothing.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, you should. That's the right way to do it.
Yeah. I've actually,
and if you get a yes,
I've just said, I'm sorry,
that's called consent.
I really need to put my hand on your ass.
I wish I had been asked that. That story wonderful. I told you.
It was a full palming. It was a good one.
Yeah. You got a good one in there.
A good solid. So Lindsay Lohan That's okay. No.
Total tangent.
She said that people who told their stories look weak.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Good.
And that's where supposed to mark her dignified return into the mainstream.
good luck.
Right. By being cast in Sky One, a Sky One comedy called Sick Note. After years of public controversy. But now Lohan has potentially ostracized herself
from
Hollywood's liberal elite after labeling women's hashtag MeToo stories as weak.
That's terrible.
In an interview with The Times.
Yeah, and now that you know you're at a biased place. When you're with Hollywood's liberal elite.
Yes.
No, with anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Right.
When you call rape victims weak.
Weak.
Yeah.
Right. You're done.
Right. In an interview with The Times, Lohan said that women who shared their experiences of sexual harassment and assault during the hashtag MeToo movement on social media were attention seekers. The Parent Trap actress stated, "If it happens at that moment, you discuss it at that moment, you make it a real thing by making it a police report." She then went on to discuss the negative impact she believes the movement has made on women's image more broadly. I'm going to really hate myself for saying this, she said.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a good time to shut your mouth.
Right.
So is your publicist.
Yeah. She said, but I think women speaking against all these things, it makes them look weak when they are very strong women.
And it actually makes them strong to do.
I know. I'm with you. As for whether Lohan has experienced assault in the entertainment industry firsthand, the actress said that she didn't really have anything to say and couldn't speak on something she didn't live. But she did. But the actors later criticized the approach
she's
of women.
Up 7,000 other ways.
Oh God! Yeah. Right? She criticized the approach of women who had shared their experiences. You have these girls who come out who don't even know who they are, who do it for the attention. That is taking away from the fact that it happened. Lohan was previously condemned for defending Harvey Weinstein when the accusations of sexual assault first emerged. In a video, the star said, "I feel really bad for Harvey Weinstein right now. I don't think it's right what's going on. I think Georgina needs to take a stand and be there for her husband." Because she was like, bye.
Yeah.
Loewen had shared
Well, if you're Georgina Chapman and you are truly one of the most beautiful women in the world and your husband is out feeling up every piece of ass in the world, you're leaving.
Yeah, bye.
And she doesn't, and people are like, oh, Georgina was just staying for the money. She's Marquesa. Yeah. She co-founded Marquesa. Yeah.
All right.
She has some cash.
All right. And I just, I have to say something.
No.
You know, there's just such a huge thing. She said you need to report it and make it real. There are so... Okay, my head is like spinning right now. Sexual assault and domestic violence goes unreported because of so many issues of fear, retaliation, shame.
The cop siding
with the man. There are so many reasons why, especially female victims and children, child victims, do not report.
And I'm going to say, I would add, and I understand that you have the finger on the pulse of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I would add men as well.
Oh,
I don't mean about
assault. I should have included
them.
Yeah, they underreport too.
As far as underreporting, because it would be such a shame.
Everyone does.
In terms of domestic violence, they do. They underreport.
Yeah.
It's not manly.
The minute you have to make something that public, your life just changes.
Absolutely.
The minute it happens, it changes. And then the minute you have to admit to someone else and go through
the process,
that's its own violation.
Yeah. It's happening
and
all over again.
I think she was trying to make a kind of a fucked up point. Like, if they didn't call the police, why are they on the internet doing it now?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a safer way to do it.
Right.
And also, times have changed.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so
if you have a group of people.
Because you can take down Matt Lauer. Now, all these women that were abused by Matt Lauer can be like, this dick kept me from a better job and sometimes locked me in his office to touch my ass.
And it's not just about Hollywood
thing in his desk.
And it's not about just Hollywood and the liberal elite kind of stuff and all this, because I remember when this came about, and like Amina says in
that is so right.
That people on the planet can't actually report. Yeah. I mean, it just... So
because it doesn't
even
exist.
It's
as
not
a
just
crime.
In Hollywood or, you know,
now we have the Catholic Church.
Like, my God.
Right. Yep. Like at breakfast
It's not now we have it.
Now we're finding out about it.
Right, but now slowly, and everyone's acting surprised. But like, yes, horrible joke, but yesterday at breakfast somebody was talking about, you know, Mormons and Pepsi and how like you buy stock and all of a sudden caffeine's
Pepsi's
allowed.
Having a good night tonight.
Right. So somebody said, "Oh, like the Catholic Church should invest in something." I'm like, "Yeah, lube," because that way they have permission to use it.
Well, that and candles.
But I mean, just
forget.
Just awfulness on every on every side. But
if any Catholics are listening at this point, you can just sign off now.
Please, if you're Catholic and you're worried about our podcast after what's going on in your church.
Yep.
Well, Marnie, I like that our two topics actually segued. I didn't think they were going to. But maybe we need something more fun now.
Watch how I play off the
problem. I like it. Go with it.
Cannabis stocks soared to new highs based on Lindsay Lohan.
That's fantastic.
Corona Brewer. So cannabis stocks have been soaring. Oh, motherfucker. This app is driving me crazy. I don't want to see pictures of Heidi Klum. Cannabis stocks have been soaring since the maker of Corona beer boosted its investment in Canadian cannabis company Canopy Growth by $4 billion.
The B.
Wow.
Rival Kronos Group, I don't know what that means, has soared more than 40% in the last week, including an 11% pop Tuesday. Tilray, another competition. Oh, Rival Kronos Group is the name of the group. I get it now. Another competitor, Tilray, just went public on the NASDAQ last month, has skyrocketed more than 60% in the last 5 days. Tilray shares were up 10% alone on Tuesday. So clearly, having the pot smoker anonymous Lindsay chatting, both companies, which are based in Canada, have clearly attracted more interest after Constellation took an increased stock in Canopy Growth. That deal announced last week led to a 30% surge in Canopy stock. And this is one of those real pages. They have all their like stock names and trade names. Investors are betting that Constellation, which owns Corona and other spirits and wine brands, may eventually launch cannabis-based beverages and other products. Because remember, in Canada, pot's completely legal.
Right.
Like,
right.
There's no medical bullshit. There's no, you can't deposit your money.
I didn't know that.
Pot's on the up and up in Canada. Yeah, it just happened with Trudeau.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just wanted to
Infused drinks likely won't be for sale in the U.S., where cannabis continues to be prohibited by the federal government, but they could pop up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Blame Canada.
Blame Canada. Blame Canada. With all their hockley bullabaloo and the bitch and Murray too. So I have spoken too soon because recreational marijuana sales will become totally legal on October 17th. Which may be another reason why the stocks have been rising. Cronos and Tilray, as well as Canopy, are all seeking to take advantage of Canada's legalization of pot, and there have been a flurry of announcements from the companies about their plans. So, and I don't know if there's a push this election for medical marijuana on the ballot, or if that's, like, coming up, or what the deadline is, because I keep getting, like, little things, but I'm like... Okay. It's August. Shouldn't you have a plan in place?
Sure.
You know, for a, but I don't know if we start, like, I don't know how our primaries work. Do we primary in and vote, like, what things can make it on the official ballot? I don't know.
Well, you had to have signatures, all the signatures by July 5th.
Okay,
for anything to go on to the ballot. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so I'm thinking it's not a thing, right?
No, I don't think so.
It's far too late.
Mm-hmm.
Came along, came along. They're not even a real country anyway.
Canada, we love you.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. That's great.
For those of you that don't know what that is a clip called Blame Canada from the South Park movie, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, back in 99. Jeez, the South Park has been around a long time.
So, they're brilliant.
Wait, I got to catch up.
You'll never catch up.
Freed all nonviolent.
They're starting. Oh, President Obama moved to do that. And in California, Amina, they are starting to commute sentences of people who are jailed for selling weed.
Mm-hmm. For non
and possession.
And I think Florida is trying to get the thing passed today where felons who serve their time can vote again.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Which hopefully Michael Cohen and.
Manafort
are going to be on board with.
So they can still vote.
Yeah.
We'll see how.
After they serve their time.
Yeah.
You know, if they're pardoned.
You know, when
it
happens to white people, all of a sudden.
It matters.
It matters.
Everything changes. Yeah. Isn't that convenient? I can't wait to watch Rachel.
It's going to be so good.
And Brian Williams. Because what bon mot will he throw at us?
And the dry humor he throws out during it just cracks me up.
So
I do enjoy him.
Yep.
Our final headline story. Health officials in one Colombian coastal city have a controversial recommendation for residents trying to stay cool during an intense heat wave. Don't fuck.
That seems fair.
Wow.
And in the headline it says take a break from sex. I just thought I would add some drama to it.
Appreciate that. Yep. Well done.
Santa Marta City Health Secretary Julio Salas sparked a mix of laughter and disbelief this week when he urged residents of the Caribbean tourist Mecca to refrain from sex during the day, only during the day, as part of a list of recommendations saying that they should stay hydrated, wear loose clothing, and prevent overheating. Apparently, sex does that to some people.
Maybe. If your air conditioning doesn't have a setting that says sex,
don't try
it. Don't do it. You know what I mean? Just wait till winter.
Now, however, sex is considered only a moderate physical activity. You're doing it wrong. As much of a strain on the heart as walking up two flights of stairs. This, according to the American Heart Association, temperatures in the Santa Marta region have soared past 40 degrees Celsius or 104 degrees Fahrenheit. You wimps, come to Phoenix, Christ. And Salas's medical facilities in the city of 600,000 have been overwhelmed with patients complaining of symptoms of heat stroke, such as nausea and headache. So to alleviate those, he's just simply suggesting, just calm down.
Right.
Cool your jets.
Keep it in your pants.
Keep it in your pants.
Right.
Literally keep it in your pants.
There you have it.
On the topic of
hashtag
headache,
it is not okay.
There was always that joke on like TV shows and stuff and cartoons about, oh, I have a headache, not tonight.
Right.
You know what I mean? And as a girl who never gets headaches, I just didn't understand the crisis.
Yeah.
And then one day I was laying in bed with somebody when I had one of my very rare headaches, and I thought, you motherfucker, you come any closer with that thing, and I'm going to chop you up into pieces and mail you to Singapore.
Well, I'm going to... Wow. We're going to have an episode of
How very
Dexter.
Specific.
It was. I had a plan.
But it's good to have a plan.
And you know how, you know, when it finally happens to you, you're like, oh, I get this now.
Right. I understand.
Well, that wraps up our headline segment. And we're going to move on to this.
Oh, we have two very, very, very sad entries into the death pen.
Patti LaBelle.
We have an actually, yes, Patti LaBelle and Aunt Jemima both passed this week, according to my sources
Tragedy.
At Fox News.
This just in.
Amina should provide her link again for her short story. It's 99 cents. I found that. Winona Ryder may be married. We have some predictions for Oscars 2019. Book suggestion for you, because I read now. All kinds of stuff.
All this coming up in the next hour. Stick around. It's Q-Talk America.
I'm on the board of directors of this lousy company.
You're listening to Q-Talk America.